Welcome to the Radio Detective Story Hour podcast. You can leave comments by going to the website at rdsh.otr.com or send me an email to otrpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to send me a tweet, my Twitter account is @radiodetective, all one word. First of all, I want to apologize for not having a show for quite a while. I'm having issues with my voice, as hopefully you'll be able to hear. But the cold I had didn't help, and hopefully things are getting a little bit better each time. So I will continue to try to produce episodes as I can, but you'll just have to bear with me when sometimes they do not appear. The role of women in radio drama and production is unfortunately lacking when looking at the history of radio drama. Some of this is most likely due to the culture of the times in how women's roles were perceived. For many, it was obvious that radio was not a woman's game. Oddly enough, one of the best-known women in radio was sound effects artist Ora Nichols, who led the sound effects team for Orson Welles' War of the Worlds broadcast, among other Mercury Theater productions. She and her husband were possibly the first full-time paid sound effects people in radio. All of this is a roundabout way of talking about the role women played in detective dramas. They were female sleuths, but I want to look at some of the husband and wife teams and the role given to women in those situations. Unfortunately, it is not positive in most cases. With jokes aside about behind every good man is a woman, that seemed to be the prevalent approach radio drama took in these husband-wife detective dramas. The first team I want to look at may be one of the weakest, though the series was a good one. The series was called It's a Crime, Mr. Collins, and featured husband and wife Greg and Gail Collins. There were two versions of the series, one American and one Australian. There does not appear to be any extant audio of the American series, so what you'll hear is an Australian production, but the scripts were usually the same, and overall what you hear in the Australian version was heard in the American version too. The American actors were Mandel Kramer, the last Johnny Dollar, as Greg Collins, and a woman who we're not quite sure of. Some say her name was also Gail Collins, just as she played a character named Gail Collins, but most likely that's not the case. The Australian actors were Keith Eden as Greg, Mary Disney as Gail. The Mutual Broadcasting System carried both series in the United States. The role of Gail Collins in this series was to support her, quote, darn good private detective husband, who at times is described as an absolute genius by his wife. Greg, in his male position, led the investigations, but Gail often found, quote, important evidence, uncovered possible motives, accurately foresaw potential danger, noticed vital clues Greg missed, and not infrequently solved the case, according to Jack French, author of Private Eyelashes. Yet the series, as with other husband-wife series, placed the emphasis on the husband, somewhat playing down the role of these female sleuths. The culture of the time simply would not allow the woman to appear to be the stronger of the pair, and it seemed it always had to be treated with a certain attitude of cuteness rather than seriousness. Even one of the best female detectives on radio, Candy Matson, had to be called Candy and be sometimes treated with demeaning actions by her male peers. The series also seemed to border on the stereotypical role of women and their men. In one episode, Greg meets an old girlfriend, a redhead. Gail's response, quote, "There she was, the high-powered sports model. When she saw Greg, she revved her motor a little." Overall, It's a Crime, Mr. Collins, despite its sometimes schlock, wasn't a bad series. It was a knockoff of another series I'll get into next time, and it wasn't on the air for very long. The series premiered in August 1956, and the American version ended in February the next year. However, Mutual worked out an agreement with packager Harry S. Goodman to continue to provide a number of Australian series, including the version of It's a Crime, Mr. Collins. In order for these shows to appear on American radio, a special agreement had been worked out with AFTRA, since it didn't hire any American actors. But AFTRA, at that February cutoff date, changed their minds and demanded more money and fees. Mutual balked, and the series was stopped. So Goodman sued both AFTRA and Mutual. Goodman claimed AFTRA did not have rights regarding the Australian productions, but apparently the resolution was that the series never returned. The episodes available today came from that transcription library of Australian shows. When Ora Nichols stormed out of a production after Orson Welles insulted her knowledge of sound effects, he was forced into a rare apology to get her to return. Since that time, the role of women in radio production never again reached that peak, though into the 50s there were some series where the role of the woman was taken with some seriousness. Unfortunately, they were rare, and the true influence of women in radio drama never reached the potential it contained. Here now is an episode from It's a Crime, Mr. Collins.
It's a crime, Mr. Collins.
It surely is. You see, I'm Mrs. Collins, Gail Collins, and my husband Greg is a prior detective. If you found your husband making love to a redhead, and he said he was only trying to solve a murder, would you think it was the truth, or would you make him take the consequences? Well, I'll tell you what I did. I'll be back in a minute to set the stage for our puzzle in crime.
It's a crime, Mr. Collins. Now, Mrs. Collins, what did you start to tell us about finding your husband with a redhead?
Her name was Julie Myers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Greg and I knew nothing about the case when it began.
Yeah.
Julie and her boyfriend, Philip Cairns, had just stepped off a boat from Hong Kong. They were standing with their luggage on a dock in San Francisco, our hometown. It was a dismal, wet, very foggy night. Julie and Philip were looking for a taxi.
There isn't a cab in sight, Julie.
Oh, we've just got to find one, Phil.
Darling, why don't you wait in the doorway? I'll go look for one.
All right, but hurry. Why are you taking the box with you? Why don't you leave it here with the luggage?
I'm taking no chances.
Oh, hurry, Phil.
I will. Taxi! Taxi! Oh, confound it. Julie, go back. Don't follow me. You'll get pneumonia. Is that you, Julie? Oh, I can't see a thing in this fog. I said, is that you, Julie? Who's there? No! Let go! Put down that knife! Oh! The Chinese bowl. Someone must get the bowl to Mason's. The Chinese bowl. I'm...
Collins was murdered in that fog on the San Francisco waterfront. Greg and I, of course, know nothing about this yet. We were at home, having troubles enough of our own.
Very interesting.
Greg Collins, this is final. If you get involved in just one more case where you go romancing around with attractive suspects...
Now, come here, sweetheart.
You're one little Indian who's not going to wander off the reservation anymore.
Now, come on, honey.
Greg. Oh, Greg. Get away from me.
Beautiful.
Oh, go away. You're changing the subject.
Okay. You know, you haven't exactly repulsed all the handsome males we've met, either.
When it comes to handling men, Greg, you're looking at an expert. When if they get too fancy, I upset them and gives them the 0-1-2.
Go on, you telegraph that right of yours so much.
I don't use my hands, I use my foot. I take the heel of my shoe and I dig it right into the young man's instep. That stops him. It's a jiu-jitsu trick. I learned it from my husband, Mr. Gregory Collins. He picked it up in the Marines. Ever meet him?
Oh, yes, yes. Charming.
Of course, he does cast a roving eye at other women.
That again.
They're running some fine little choo-choo trains to Reno these days, and I've got mad money in my piggy bank. I'm warning you, Greg. By way of appeasement, Greg offered to take me for cocktails and an elaborate dinner at the Nob Hill Hotel. He also decided to get me a gift at Mason's. Mason's is a world-famous spot in San Francisco that specializes in exquisite Oriental art. Greg was moseying around on the main floor when Mr. Shaw, the manager, came over to him.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Collins.
Oh, hello, Mr. Shaw. Say, this dinner gong is beautiful.
Could we discuss it later? Would you step into my office? It's terribly important.
Oh, I surely...
This way, this way. We're lucky you were here just now. I have quite a problem.
What's wrong, Mr. Shaw?
Look through this panel in my door. See the red-headed girl sitting on a chaise?
Oh, brother. Why do they worry about who's on the moon when they got stuff like that down here?
Her name is Julie Myers. Mr. Collins. Have you ever heard of the Ming Lu San Bowl?
I'm not a connoisseur of that type of art. Painting's my hobby.
The bowl was created during the Ming Dynasty. It's priceless. It's a very distinctive red. One collector called it Temple Fire Red. The design on it is incredible. Oh, the craftsmanship.
Well, what's happened to it?
A very prominent family in the Orient has owned it for many, many generations. However, as a result of the bloodshed in the Far East, the family was evacuated to Hong Kong, became penniless refugees there. They decided, very much against their deepest feelings about it, that they would sell the bowl to us here at Mason's.
You send somebody for it?
Yes. Philip Cairns, a highly trusted employee. He was to bring the bowl here to San Francisco. He got it. He landed here 48 hours ago. He stepped off a ship and then...
Yeah?
He was murdered. Viciously attacked with a knife and cut down in the fog by the docks.
Any witnesses?
No. He'd stepped away from the pier to find a cab. Got lost in the darkness and fog. Nobody saw a thing.
You make the trip alone?
No. That gets us to the young lady sitting outside, Julie Myers. She was with Cairns at the time. She claims they had one of those sudden, overwhelming romances that they met in Hong Kong and were married.
Believe it?
I'm not sure. The police questioned her for hours, but...
No doubt, sir.
They had to let her go. Couldn't prove a thing.
Where's the bowl?
Miss Myers came to my office a half hour ago. She said Philip purposely carried an empty box with him as a decoy. He knew he might be attacked. Whoever killed him made off with the empty box that night.
Where was the bowl hidden?
In Miss Myers' trunk. She followed Philip's instructions. She brought it here.
Is it here now?
Look at this, Mr. Collins. The bowl in this box. Here. Oh, careful, careful.
Oh, yeah.
It's packed in shavings. Sawdust always gets on a man's suit. There we are. This is what Miss Meyer gave to me. A moderately good imitation of the Ming Lu San bowl.
Any more to the story?
That's it. Now, we cannot depend upon the police alone, Mr. Collins. We have too much at stake. We must employ our own man to investigate this. You've got to help us.
Does Miss Myers know you've discovered the bull as a fake?
No. I told her there would be some formalities and asked her to wait.
Mr. Shore.
Yes?
Tell Miss Myers everything's fine. Bid a good afternoon.
You mean just let her go?
That's right.
But
go on, we're losing time.
All right. I presume you've some plan.
Plan? Yeah, I'm going to find out if it's true what they say about redheads.
Redheads. Keep your ears pinned, friends. I'll be back in a minute with more of our story. Mr. Shaw dismissed Julie Myers with his best store manager smile, and she left Mason's. Greg followed her. She sailed into the lobby of the Nob Hill Hotel and took the elevator to the roof, where the cocktail lounge has one of the loveliest views on earth. Julie sat down at a table by herself. Greg, meantime, took his old friend Marco, the head waiter, aside for a little chat.
Marco.
Yes, Mr. Collins, what shall I do for you?
You know that girl who just sat down, the redhead?
No.
Do something for me about that girl?
Certainly. What is it?
Get fresh with her.
Mr. Collins!
No, nothing crude. Just be a nuisance.
Mr. Collins, I've always been only too happy to cooperate with you, but this is unspeakable.
It'll be worth $5 to you.
Oh, it is unforgivable. Me, a man of my position.
10.
Going over to a guest and deliberately insulting her. Why, it is fantastic.
15.
Oh, why, I'm really surprised. The very idea.
$20. Take it or leave it.
I'll take it.
Marco strolled over to Julie Myers' table and began to act like what is commonly termed an eager beaver.
Madame is expecting someone?
Oh, yes, I am.
Is there something I can do for you in the meantime?
No, thank you.
Oh, it would be a privilege to do something for the loveliest lady in the lounge tonight.
I don't want anything. Now, if you just...
Of course, if the gentleman you're expecting doesn't appear, why...
Why what?
I was just hoping, I am off duty soon.
Get away from this table.
Oh, don't say no, please. At least not right away. Perhaps if...
If you don't get away from here, I'll...
Excuse me, ma'am. I couldn't help but notice that Marco's been up to his old tricks.
Oh, Mr. Collins,
beat it, Marco. Leave the young lady alone. I don't know why the management lets you get away with this. You're always trying it. With every good-looking girl who comes here...
Why, I
said get going.
Very well. Just as you say, I was...
Why, thanks.
Oh, that was nothing.
Well, don't go away.
Oh, but I...
Well, sit down. Let's skip the formalities, Greg. That stunt you pulled with Marco so corny makes me think you're another detective. Aren't the police convinced yet that I couldn't have killed Philip Cairns?
I don't work for the San Francisco police.
Oh, then where are you from?
Anando's Hideaway.
What are you after, Greg?
Well, if you'd tell me a little bit about yourself and Cairns, it'd save a lot of wear and tear in my shoe leather.
I've told everyone the story. I met Philip in Hong Kong.
What are you doing there?
Entertaining. I used to sing in clubs in the States. I got mixed up with the wrong boys. Ended up in Hong Kong.
And Philip Cairns met you in a club there, huh?
That's right. We fell in love. He asked me to go back to the States with him and marry him.
You fell in love, huh? Big romantic deal, huh? Your would-be bridegroom has been dead for less than 3 days, so you're here, dressed like that, waiting to have highballs with a new boyfriend. You must have been so sorry when Cairns got knocked out.
All right. So I'm not the sentimental type.
Did Cairns tell you much about the Red Bull?
I knew all about it. I was with him when the Chinese family turned it over to him. They took it very seriously. They wrapped it in fancy drapes. Just the bowl and the drapes in a beautiful wooden box.
I see.
Oh, Greg. Do we have to keep talking about that? How about a drink?
No, thanks. I've got to...
Just one drink.
Now, look, I'm married, and there are rules.
Oh, they're the old-fashioned rules.
Scotch and water.
Good. And don't sit way over there, Greg. Come closer to me. That's it.
Now, Julie, I...
Good evening, Mr. Collins.
Oh, good evening. Now, Julie, is that... Gail!
Yes, Gail. Pull yourself together, chum.
I don't believe we've met.
Oh, yes. Julie Myers, this is my wife, Gail.
Oh, how do you do? I'm happy to... Oh.
Won't you join us, Gail? Sit down. I'll order something.
No, thank you. I'm going over to the bar. We did have an appointment, Greg. Never mind.
Hey, Gail, come back here. Excuse me, Julie. Gail! Now, look, Gail, I can explain everything. This is a case.
I'll have a drink by myself here at the bar. You go and enjoy yourself with your girlfriend.
All right. Have it your way.
Your wife seems rather upset.
Yes, I'm sorry, she... Getting back to the Chinese bowl. What about the boyfriend you're waiting for? He hasn't shown up, and I'd like to meet him.
You're meeting him right now.
Oh, hello, Benny. This is Greg Collins. He's a detective.
So what? Why do you make dates with me and then sit around with every guy you find in the bar?
Easy, pal, easy.
We were just talking about Philip Kahn's Chinese bowl.
I ought to take you, Julian. You get it to Mason's?
Yes.
Have any trouble?
None at all. Sit down. You're running quite a temperature.
I don't sit down with detectives.
What's your business with the bowl, Benny?
See? Right away with a quiz question. All right, Collins. I stole the bowl and I killed Cairns. And tonight I'm going to knock up a small but fat little bank. Okay?
Sure. Could be. Excuse me, I'll be back.
And don't hurry yourself. I can wait.
Marco! Marco!
Oh, yes, Mr. Collins.
Marco, you'll have to help me again.
Oh, delighted, Mr. Collins.
I'm going to make a phone call. While I'm in the booth, the red-headed gal and the gentleman with her will probably try to leave. Call the house detective. Let them pay the check. Then have the houseman pick him up and hold him somewhere. That Mason's, Mr. Shure?
Yes, Greg.
I'm in the cocktail lounge at the Knob Hill Hotel. I've got your murderer. Yes, I know who killed Philip Cairns.
What about the bowl? Do you know where the real bowl is?
Yes, I think I do. Can you come right over?
I'll be there in less than 5 minutes.
There's no doubt about it. He's a honey of a detective, is my husband. In just a minute, we'll bring you the climax of the case. While Greg was in the phone booth, Julie and Benny left their table, paid the check very quickly, and then, at the elevator, Marco stopped them very graciously. He turned them over to a kind of chubby little gent who must have been the house detective. The three of them took a down elevator. Greg came over to the bar where I was and briefed me on the whole story. It's all very interesting, Greg. If it's all true.
Well, of course it is. You'll believe me when Mr. Shaw gets here. He'll corroborate the story.
There he is. Now we'll see if it was absolutely necessary for you to follow that redhead.
Oh, Mr. Shaw.
There you are, Mr. Collins. Hello, Mrs. Collins.
Hello, Mr. Shaw.
Let's have a table, shall we? Or do you prefer staying here at the bar?
No, there's more privacy at a table. Oh, here's one. You okay, Gail?
Yes, Greg.
This is better, isn't it? Now, tell me, what have you found out? Have you sent for the police?
Not yet.
What happened?
I know who cut Philip Cairns' throat down at the docks. And I know who has the real bowl.
Are you positive?
Yeah.
Well, who was it? Who killed Philip? And who stole the bowl?
You did.
I was afraid you might say that, Mr. Collins. So I brought a .38 revolver with me. It's in my pocket. You can't see it, but the gun is less than a foot from your wife's heart. I couldn't possibly fail to kill her at this range.
Great.
Smile, Mrs. Collins. You too, Mr. Collins. And both of you keep your hands on the table. Now, tell me what you know and talk quickly.
When Julie Myers spoke to me before, she said the real bowl was packed in ceremonial drapes. So the bowl she brought to you would have been packed the same way. But the one you showed me was packed in excelsior. You even warned me about getting the sawdust on my suit.
Very good, Mr. Collins. I've always admired your ability.
You tried the obvious first. You killed Cairns in that fog and stole the box he was carrying. But the box was empty. So you played your other card. You'd made a phony bowl. You hid the real one she delivered somewhere in your office. Then you took out the fake one and called me. I'd suspect Julie. Can I ask you a question?
Yes, but quickly.
You could never have gone to a fence with that bowl. It's too well known a piece. Why did you take it?
I would gladly have killed half a dozen people to have the Ming Lu San bowl for myself. Now we're going to leave the table. I'll take your arm, Mrs. Collins.
Craig.
If you try anything, Mr. Collins, remember the gun will be closer to your wife than it ever was.
Where are we going?
Out onto the terrace to admire the beautiful view. Many of the guests do that. We're so fortunate. It happens to be empty at the moment. Stand up, both of you. Now, stay close to me. If you turn around or put your hands in your pockets, I shall kill your wife.
But why the terrace?
Mrs. Collins, you and your husband are the only two people who know the truth. It's dark on the terrace, Mrs. Collins. So dark that it's quite possible to stumble. You and your husband are going to fall off the roof. Terrible accident. It's a 30-story drop. I shall be overcome with sorrow. Open the door to the terrace, Mr. Collins. No, wait. Stay right where you are. The head waiter's coming over. Careful what you say.
Is there something I can do for you, Mr. Collins?
No, Marco. Nothing.
Just call me. I am at your command.
Open the door to the terrace, Mr. Collins. Now, we'll step outside. That's it. Close the door. There's a point in that safety fence. It's rather low, Mr. Collins. At the very edge of the roof. Stand there. By that huge electric sign.
Oh, Craig, be careful.
Back up a bit more, Mr. Collins.
Craig.
Back up, I said. That's it. Now, I shall let go of your arm, Mrs. Collins, and you will walk over and join your husband. Oh, it's always so difficult for the police to prove that it wasn't an accident when people fall off a building. Go on, Mrs. Collins. Walk over to the edge. Don't stall, or I'll pull the trigger and...
Oh, my foot! Good girl. I'll take it from here.
Oh! Grab him, Greg. He'll fall off the roof.
Greg!
Much later that night, Greg and I were home again, and I was in a different mood. Greg.
Uh-huh.
I forgive you. About the redhead, I mean.
You've done a little better.
Greg, why'd you have the house detective hold Julie and Benny if they were innocent?
And Julie was next on Shaw's list. He knew she might say something that would trap him. Maybe Cairns told her about Shaw's morbid fascination for rare objects. Besides, by killing her, he'd leave me on a dead-end street without any suspects. So I just had her stashed away downstairs for a while.
You're a big smarty pants, aren't you, Gregory Collins?
Oh, it was nothing, really. I just did what any ordinary, everyday genius would do.
I wasn't so bad, either. That trick for handling wolves that I told you about came in mighty handy. See how I dug my heel into Shaw's instep? Saved us from falling off a 30-story building.
Gail, I want to tell you something.
Yes, Greg.
Darling, I...
Yes? Say it, Greg. Say it.
I'm hungry.
Oh, Revolion Romantic...
House for Strawberries Jubilee at the Cirque Room.
Eat, eat, eat. Greg, if you had a choice, and you could never eat again, or never kiss me again, which would you choose?
Come here. How's that for an answer?
Correct, Mr. Collins. Now, do you want to try for the jackpot question? Moral of the story. If you think your husband is interested in other women, you should always have faith and trust him. As far as you can throw a 30-story building. In just a moment, we'll be back with you.
We hope you enjoyed our adventure, the Chinese Bowl of Temple Fire Red. Be sure to visit us next time for another puzzle in murder. For where there is crime and romance, there you'll find Mr.
and Mrs. Collins.
It's a Crime, Mr. Collins was produced in the studios of Hector Crawford Productions by Dorothy Crawford.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Radio Detective Story Hour. I'll be back next time with another drama of suspense.